It is certainly great to see everyone here today. It is certainly also great to see so many fathers here today. I know it's been said, but I want to take the time to especially say to all the fathers who are here, to all of those who are loving their children, but most of all, loving the Lord, Happy Father's Day. What a blessing it is to have fathers. You know, I know that there have been times that we have praised the mamas and beat the daddies up on this day. But that is never my intention, because I believe we need to praise the fathers as well. You see, I believe it's a command from God, as Taylor read to us just a moment ago. We should honor our father and mother. It is that first commandment with promise. You see, today I am blessed because I worship with my father, and I am so thankful for him. I was able to go by and hug him before we started worship. You know, I know that without my father, I wouldn't be able to stand here before you today. My father certainly had a major role in raising all three of us into being the men that we are today. Some of you can recognize that because you also are able to worship with your fathers. Some of you long the day when you'll be able to worship again with your father on an eternal basis. Some of you, this is a very hard day, and my heart always goes out to you for that. But today, what I'd like to do as a father, as a minister, is to bring a sermon that I believe will not only be good for our fathers, but it will be good for each and every one of us here today. You see, I like to look at the Bible when it comes to these type points. I like to make these sermons based on what other family members have done throughout the Bible. If you'll recall back at Mother's Day, we looked at Jesus loving His mother from the cross. Today, we'll look at 1 Kings 2, how a father gave a son advice. I am again thankful for fathers. I'm also thankful to be a father. I believe that being a father is very rewarding. I enjoy it very much when I can see my children every day. This will be the first year, and I guess only year, that my children will be campers at Gulf Coast Bible Camp at the same week. My son is finishing up the fifth grade year, so this is his last year at junior week, and Madeline has beginning her very first year as a camper. Now, they've both been out there since they were in diapers, but the point is they're officially campers at the same time. That's a big deal for me. That's rewarding as a father. But it's also very challenging, and I think you all can relate to this as well, because not to the point because my children are bad, not because I want to focus on the times that they get in trouble, but because of passages like Ephesians 6:4. You see, in Ephesians 6:4, God said there through the Apostle Paul, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." You see, that is a very challenging verse to me. Even though we can praise the mothers of the world, and certainly we should, that command is given to the fathers. Yes, there are Eunices, yes, there are Loises, right? But this command is given to us. And so as a father, it is very rewarding, but it's extremely challenging. Because when I held my children in my arms, and I held them and looked at them, I was so thankful to God for them, but I could almost imagine God saying back to me, "Hey Terry, see how perfect this is? I want them back. I want them back. So I want you to do everything in your power to raise them up." You see, but God didn't leave us hanging, did He? He gave us some good news. He gave us some advice. But I am reminded that the hands of a father are very special. I remember Daddy's hands folded silently in prayer and reaching out to hold me when I had a nightmare. You could read quite a story in the calluses and lines. Years of work and worry had left their mark behind. I remember Daddy's hands, how they held my mama tight and patted my back for something done right. There are things that I've forgotten that I loved about the man, but I'll always remember the love in Daddy's hands. I remember Daddy's hands working till they bled, sacrificed unselfishly just to keep us all fed. If I could do things over, I'd live my life again and never take for granted the love in Daddy's hands. Daddy's hands were soft and kind when I was crying. Daddy's hands were hard as stone or steel when I'd done wrong. Daddy's hands weren't always gentle, but I've come to understand there's always love in Daddy's hands. The hands of a father today, they're special. I would recommend you children take your father's hands and look at them and appreciate them. Appreciate them for the love that is in those hands. Appreciate, some will appreciate the wrinkles that are on those hands. Some will appreciate the calluses for that hard work that are on those hands. Some will appreciate how that hand can do a pretty good job of working on that backside or holding that belt. And listen, that's not a fun thing, but that's reality. I'm thankful for those times. Listen, you know, my dad raised us tough, but at the same time, I didn't require many times of that because I knew what was going to happen if I crossed my father. And so those things are important. They're special. And so today, when you see your father, and if you can hold your father's hand, do that. Let him know how much you love him, how much you appreciate him. Being a father is much more than many people understand. You know, if we were to take a look at our news media tonight, if we were to take a look on the internet and just in Mobile and the surrounding areas, you could look up Arrested in Mobile or you could look up wherever and you can see that prisons are full. Did you see, I believe it was John Schneider who was Bo Duke when I was coming up, but he had to go to jail because he couldn't afford to pay his child support. He was in jail for 2 days. Why? And they let him go because the jails were overpopulated. You see, that's what's happening. Why are jails full? Because they crave discipline. And I am confident today that if in the secular world we had more fathers who took the responsibility as serious as God expects, then we'd have less crime, less disrespect, less people slipping out the back door, and even slipping out the church. So this morning, I want us to think about some advice. Some advice that God gave us. Not to beat us up and say that we're bad fathers. Not to overstep on our toes, but just to encourage us. Not just the fathers who are here today, but all of us as we strive to raise children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So I want you to go ahead and turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 2, please. 1 Kings chapter 2, David is king of Israel. And by the way, if you are a father, a good thing for you to do today is ask some of your children that went to crafts, I guess, what they made an outdoor Bible. It was about David, and they made the cutest little bag of stones. It's made out of kind of some foam paper, and they cut the rocks out, they made the sling, and it's all and it reminds them of the story of David versus Goliath. Again, David, somebody we draw a lot of lessons from. Good lessons and bad lessons, right? But David here is on his deathbed. This great man of God, this great king of Israel is struggling. And he's struggling with his life. But his son Solomon is there by him. And he gives this advice. Verse 2, now the days of David drew near that he should die. And he charged Solomon, his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and prove yourself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, to keep His statutes, His commandments, His judgments, and His testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do, and wherever you turn. That the Lord may fulfill His word which He spoke concerning me, saying, if your sons take heed to their way to walk before me in truth, with all their heart and with all their soul, He said, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. I love this passage of Scripture. If I ever had the money to write another book, I believe what I would write is how to prove ourselves a man. I believe that is something that's very important in today's standards, in today's time. Now let me say it this way. Solomon, David's son, is told by David, Solomon, go and prove yourself a man. Now, in that, please note, he was not saying, Solomon, I am concerned with how much you bench press. Solomon, I am concerned with how many home runs you hit this year. Solomon, I am concerned with how many women you've gone out with. Maybe he should have been concerned about that. But, Solomon, I am wanting to know this year, are you going to lead the league in tackles? Solomon, are you going to be valedictorian? You see, none of those things matter. Or those sorts of things matter to David. What mattered to David more than anything was, Solomon, are you going to be a man of God? Solomon, are you going to go the ways of God? When I think about proving ourselves, it's not about secular things. Now, some of those things we do and they feel good, right? Some of those things we get attaboys and we get pats on the back and we get some awards and it feels good and there's nothing wrong with that. But when I put all my focus on that and I don't put my focus on being the best man I can be for God, then somewhere along the way I'm lacking. Somewhere along the way, I'm not what I need to be. Somewhere along the way, I'm disappointing our Heavenly Father. So today, I want to ask us all, are we willing to prove ourselves to God? There's three ways I want to look at today. Here's the first one. Number one, in order to prove ourselves to God, to be the best we can be, we need to give our hearts to God. Today, as we give our hearts to God, I want you to think about some scriptures about David. If you go back to 1 Samuel 13, and you look at verses 13 and 14, Samuel said to Saul, Saul was king of Israel, remember? You have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God. There it is again, right? Which He commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for Himself a man after His own heart. And the Lord has commanded him to be commander over His people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. Did you hear what Samuel said to Saul? A lot of S's in there. Samuel said to Saul, hey, you didn't do what God wanted you to. You didn't give your heart to God. And so what God has sought out is a man who has given his heart to God. Today, children, no matter how old we are, if your fathers has given their heart to God, we need to thank them. Because ultimately, it had a major impact on us. Do you think Solomon ever regretted not giving that same advice to Rehoboam, his son? You remember, it was what we just read a little bit ago in 1 Kings. He said, God has said, Solomon, if you'll prove yourself a man, keep the Lord's commandments. He said, we'll never lack a man on the throne. It was Saul taken away, David given to Solomon, his son, given to Rehoboam to never be whole again. You see, it matters today. It matters who has our heart, who has our all. David had a heart that sought God first. But did David make mistakes? Certainly he did. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to confess number one right here on the stage. I am not perfect. Not that you're just figuring that out. To my children today, I am not perfect. I make mistakes. I am human. But I want my children to know that I am giving my heart to God. I want them to understand that. I think it's important that we see that in David. He wasn't a perfect man, but he was a man who gave God his heart. He desired to make God his treasure. What did Jesus say about treasures? He said, don't lay up for yourselves treasures that moth and rust can destroy, or where thieves can break in and steal. He said, rather lay up for yourselves treasures where neither moth nor rust can destroy, nor thieves can break in and steal. You can finish the rest. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where's our treasures today? Wherever our treasures is, we're going to find our heart. In 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9, we have this account of Solomon. As for you, my son Solomon, this is what David said to him, know the God of your father and serve him with a what? Loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thought. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. If we want to be the fathers, mothers, or just in general Christians that we need to be, then we've got to give our hearts to Jesus Christ today. You see, Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. Today, we've got to give that to God. I mean, if children can understand it, we can understand it. There's a children's song. Children, you remember this, right? Heart, heart. Giving my heart. Giving my heart to Jesus. That's what we want to tell our hearts today. Fathers, we want to tell them that, but we want to praise our fathers that have. But we want mothers, and we want single people, and we want those who are of just here, anybody here that is of age, to understand how important it is to give God our hearts. If we were to take our hearts out of our chests, we couldn't survive. If we take God out of our hearts, we can't survive spiritually. You see, that's important. So let's prove ourselves today. How can we prove ourselves? Step number one, give our hearts to God. Step number two, give God our battles. If you go back to 1 Samuel 17, this is David Goliath stuff, okay? Then David said to the Philistine, that's Goliath, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord, I love this confidence. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth. And all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands. I know we three boys, Toby, Todd, and myself, have talked about this before, especially Todd and myself, I can remember. We've talked about as long as we were with our dad, we never felt scared. Listen, my dad, you know, I always felt like he was the toughest man on the planet. And with that mindset, as long as I was with him, even if it was a scary moment, I always felt secure. I hope my children feel that way with me. I hope they understand I'm going to do everything I can to protect them. But the beauty of it is we all can feel that way because our Heavenly Father has promised us that kind of protection. As long as you're with me, everything's going to be okay. And so He looks up at this 9-foot giant and He says, uh-uh, not today, Goliath. Not today, my friend, because you come with me with a sword, with javelin, and all the above, but I come to you in the name of the Lord, my Father. And my Father has my back. And my Father will not let me fall to you, Goliath. Now, there are a lot of Goliaths in our lives today. There are a lot of giants in our lives. By the way, Goliath wasn't the only giant. David was prepared for all of them. In fact, a lot of them he took out himself with his mighty men of valor. There are a lot of giants in your lives. There's a lot of giants in my lives. Today, if we're going to prove ourselves, we're not just going to stand and fight alone. We're going to give our battle to God. The strongest thing a man can do today is to admit they're weak. To admit they need help. To admit that they need God. If I'm going to be the Christian I need to be, then I've got to give my battle over to Him. So what are we battling today? What are some things that are in your life, in my life, maybe that we're battling? Is it alcohol? You know, I presented a lesson on that, and you know, you can go back and listen to it. You know my thoughts. You know where I stand. But let's just say that some of you have that battle. Why are we taking it on our own? Today, let's give it to God. Maybe it's cigarettes. You know, there was a time when cigarette smoking was an approved thing. You could smoke anywhere, but now you can't smoke anywhere because they know the dangers of it. Maybe that's something you can't beat on your own. It's a very addicting habit. Maybe it's pornography. You know, let me say this. Mamas and daddies, if you're not talking about your children with this at a younger age, and I'm talking about, preteen stuff now, then they're probably not going to talk with you about it. So, Justin will be talking about it. Other mentor type people will be talking about it. And don't be offended by that. Because if we don't talk about it, it is an epidemic today. It is an epidemic that people are struggling with lust and pornography. And let me say it this way. There are marriages that are struggling because of it. There are expectations that are sought after viewing this type of material that just can't be met because it's not real life. But it's a problem. And today, if that curls your toes, let me just say, you just stay where you are, okay? But in the modern age of when I have it, anytime I want it in my pocket, Okay? It is a problem, an epidemic. And I'm telling you right now that we need to talk about it, because there are struggles going on, and I am confident there are people in this room, just because of the numbers, that are struggling with it. It is the number one, a lot of these pornographic sites, they are the number one through like five most visited sites every single month. That's a battle that's hard to fight on your own. We need to give it to God. There are so many other battles that we could talk about today. Maybe it's a tongue addiction. Gossip. By the way, you know why I think gossip is the number one committed sin in the world? Because no one's immune from it. Okay? I'm saying that leadership does it. Ministers do it. Deacons do it. Christians do it. And sometimes we get caught up in it and do not even think about it. But it is a problem. And it's not just the tongue. Now it's the fingers. That we get on there and we blast somebody, or we blast this and we blast that. And I understand there's a fine line between letting us know and gossip, okay? But certainly we've got to understand that gossip is an epidemic. It's a challenge that we need to give up. Do you know that people's lives in here today, people that are my friends, people that are my brothers and sisters, are hurting and are broken because of gossip? What about profane language? Is that a problem? Is that a challenge? Is that a tongue problem that you're battling today? What about lying? Today we can give those battles up. But you know why sometimes we do not give them up? Because we have too much pride. I can't admit I'm wrong. I can't admit I struggle. I can't admit, folks, I'm going to tell you right now, we've got to get rid of that. I believe with all my heart that if I were wrong, and I know I have been wrong, I think my wife can tell you, I think my children can tell you, I think some church members here could tell you, I know our elders could tell you, I am wrong, and I will come and I'll say, hey, I'm wrong and I'm sorry. But that's not something that everybody can do or is willing to do. But we've got to get there. But we've got to give those battles up. Today, do we have a desire to be in the world? Do we have a desire to not worship? Do we have a desire to give up? Well, today it's time to wake up. It's time to get up. And it's time to give up our battles and allow God to fight our fights. Finally this morning, we're proving ourselves to God. Proving ourselves. We're going to give Him our hearts. We're going to give Him our battles. And we're going to give God our mistakes. Now that may be hard to read, but it says, 1,000 times I failed, and still your mercy remains. I'm thankful for that too, Melvin. I'm thankful. I have failed God many, many times. But His mercy still remains. You see, David sins with Bathsheba. Nathan points out the mistake. David penned the words, "Purge me with hyssop, I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear your joy and gladness." We know how it goes. Create in me a clean heart. Even though he failed, he still gave God his mistake. Do you know what David got out of all that? Now, this will blow your mind because it still blows mine. Somehow or another, it happened. David should have been in battle. I guess that's an argumentative point, but as a good commander, he wouldn't have been in trouble. Couldn't sleep. Maybe he was struggling because he thought, man, my men are out there. He looks over, he sees this woman bathing. He didn't just look, he lusted. Then he longed for, and he got, because he's king. Then he has Uriah. You remember, he gets him drunk, and he sends him home. He doesn't go home. He gets him drunk. That doesn't work, and so he sends him out, has him killed on the front line. Once Nathan points out those problems and he admits he's wrong and begs God to create him a clean heart, do you know he still was able to marry Bathsheba? Isn't that amazing? Through it all, God still gave him Bathsheba. Now, his family had problems. The child that she was carrying because of this died. But the point I'm trying to get you to see today is this. God didn't hold it against David. He forgave him. Now, there were some consequences to his sin, but he wiped his slate clean. And folks, God will do the same thing for us today. No matter what, if it's one of those lists and those battles that I was talking about that make us feel a little bit uncomfortable, guess what? If I come and I confess, God forgives it, and it's gone. That's giving God our mistakes. He knew Solomon would make mistakes. He wanted Solomon to prove himself by being a man and admitting those mistakes. See, it takes a lot of courage to walk aisles. It takes courage to have tears come down. It takes courage to admit struggles that are being confessed. But I am thankful we are surrounded by a group of people that all struggle and understand that too. What am I going to do? If I want to be the father I need to be, if I want to be the husband I need to be, if I want to be the minister, the Christian friend, the mother, the wife, the child, fill in the blank, then I need to give my heart to God today. That means I need to give up some battles. Battles I'm trying to fight, but I can't do it alone. Battles that have caused me to make mistakes. Well, guess what? Today, I can give those mistakes up. And when it's all said and done, I can have the mindset that David had when he penned these words. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Isn't that a beautiful thought? He goes on to say, He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod, Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will what? Dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Fathers, thank you for being that type person. Thank you for the ones who are willing to lay it all on the line for our God. But if there be anyone here today, they can't confidently say, I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Then we need to make the Lord our shepherd. We need to give Him our heart, give Him our battles, give Him our mistakes. Let's prove ourselves to God today, right now, together. We stand and sing.